Welcome to the New Reality Show, where you can call in live for laser coaching and engage in Q&A with Drs. Art Emmerich and Christina Winzi. Discover how to master the power of your mind, body, and spiritual energies. Get empowered to create your new reality for more happiness, well-being, and success.
Well, hello, Dr. Art.
Hello, Dr. Chris. And Christmas tree ornaments abound here. That's great.
I like your wreath.
Well, Very I beautiful. Like your tree, too. This is great. It looks like you're in Times Square.
It does, doesn't it? I know. It's very elegant. I love the sparkles.
Right.
Well, hello, everybody. I'm Dr. Christina Winzi, and my co-host.
Hello from Dr. Art.
Yes, and this is our New Year's show, and we're thrilled to be with you. We'll be discussing habits, how habits make or break your goals. So things like what is a habit really? How do habits develop? What are the most successful ways to break bad habits? And much, much more. So we're pretty excited about this topic since it's New Year's Eve, people set goals, and we really want you to be able to achieve your goals. So, we didn't want to do the typical goal setting for New Year's, you know, we wanted to do what helps you be successful with your goals.
Right.
So we are just a little bit about the show. If you're new to the show, and we're just so thrilled that you've joined us, this is the New Reality Show, obviously. And we started this show because we wanted to be able to help more people than we can in our private practices, because private practice is one-on-one. And so we thought we'd get more great stuff out to people to help them change their lives.
And please listen all the way through to the end, because we do still have our private practices, and we have a surprise for you at the end of the show.
We have a very special surprise. So right. Thank you, Dr. Art, because we're going to do something we've not done before. And we're pretty excited about it. So definitely listen to the end. If you like the show, and we hope you do, please become a subscriber. You can find that on the homepage of our show. And it's just a little click, and you can start at $2.99 a month, $2.99, as much as you feel comfortable donating. It helps us keep the lights on, and we appreciate it. And thank you to all of our current subscribers who are just so amazing to keep us, to help us get this show going. So we want to get going on the topic, but first, we always have a tip of the week from Dr. Art.
I hope it's a good one. I can't wait to hear what he's going to say. Okay.
Dr. Art, by the way, is a jokester. So, you know, he keeps me laughing.
Except for the tip. I'm very serious about these tips.
So. Very serious. Very serious.
Well, I worked for a company for a number of years that spent literally millions of dollars trying to understand how people learn how to implement what they learn, how to solve problems, make decisions, do things like that. So in the process of learning, we happened upon a consultant who was a principal consultant for DuPont's long-term strategy. And he was real big on questions. And so my question, I think, would be a good one. And I'll follow this up with some other tips, with some other questions. But the questions for this week is, why? The reason that this consultant thought that was a very important question is he said, if you ever wondered where the sustaining energy comes from to help you complete the work that you want to do, There's a lot of the research suggests that it comes from your having a real good personal answer to this question. Why? Why am I doing this? Why does the company want me to do this? Or why do I want to do this? Whatever the why may entail. And it's thought that once you know the reason for something, it has the capacity to unleash your energy to be able to do that. And interesting, they did a study one time where they hired a bunch of men and they said, we want you to do this job and we'll pay you, I don't know, $8 an hour or something like that. And so they said, okay, what we want you to do is dig a hole right here. Well, how big a hole? What does it make any difference? Just dig a hole, you know? And so these guys dug a hole for about half an hour, you know, they worked on it. And the foreman came out after half an hour and he said, okay, Don, I want you to cover the hole up. And so they said, just cover it right up. And I said, yeah, just cover it up. And as soon as you're through, I want you to move over to the right about 2 feet and I want you to dig another hole. And so they did that. and of course he had to cover that one up too, you know? And so finally, after a couple of hours, they said, I don't want to keep doing it. I mean, this is stupid. I as soon as I dig the hole and you tell me to cover it up. And so he said, okay, I'll tell you what, I'll give you 50% raise increase in pay. Would you be willing to dig some more holes? And, yeah, okay, good. So they did for a little while. And finally, well, the long story short is it got to the point where they said, I ain't digging any more of these stupid holes. I don't care how much money you give me because it's not going anywhere, you know? So what they were experimenting with is how important is it for the workers to know why you're doing something or for you to know why you're doing something? And they found out that that was what unleashed the energy to continue doing it. And a lot of us, like me, have a lot of startup energy. I can start almost any task, but I find that if I want to finish it, I really need to know the answer to this why question. Mm. So mm-hmm. That is the connection. It's the connection with purpose. It's the connection with the reason for doing something. And when you've got a clear idea of that, boy, you just got a lot of energy you can release in order to do that. So I want you to challenge yourself with the new year. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? And don't be satisfied with some half-baked answer. Go for the gold here. Really get a clear idea about maybe all the reasons why you're doing something. And believe me, it will release an enormous amount of energy for you to use on doing whatever that is.
Well, you know, we've almost started on the subject here, but I want to expand on your tip of the week, which we usually don't do that, but I really feel this is important, yeah. Is to drill down. So I want to make twice my usual income. Mm-hmm. Well, why do you want that money?
Right.
Well, because I just want to make more money. Okay, so what will the money allow you to have, yeah, to be? And ultimately, when you keep drilling down, why do you want what it is you want is because I will feel a certain way. Mm-hmm. And so what you're talking about when you talk about the why is that we don't do things to have the money. We do things to have the feeling of how it feels when we can use that money to buy gifts, to have a better life, to pay all of our bills, to get out of debt. There's a feeling or many feelings that go with it. And that's really the why. And that's the key. It's one of the keys to breaking bad habits.
Breaking bad ones, yeah.
Yeah. So, well, that's awesome, Dr. Art. So we're going to start on the topic of habits and why they make or break your goals. Mm-hmm. But we've actually already started because keeping your why about your goals for 2022 is going to help you really stay the course. But let's get started with the simplest thing, which is What really is a habit?
Okay, I did some research on this. Really, very uncomplicated answer. A habit is, according to the dictionary, a repetitive or regular tendency or practice. And this can be mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, social, financial, whatever, any of the different ways. But it is a behavior. The habit is defined, especially one that's hard to give up. So habits, for example, for me is a wonderful way to describe what it's like when someone is operating in a hypnotic trance. Habits are automatic pilot behavior. Automatic pilot behavior is operating from a trance. And so I use as a trick question, a lot of my clients come in, I say, have you ever been in a trance before? No. Do you have any habits? Oh, yeah, a lot of habits. Well, you've been in a trance. it's not that unfamiliar to you. That's what right. It's like. You do it and you don't even think about it.
Absolutely.
So, our neurology, as it turns out, loves repetition. Loves patterns, behaviors, regardless of what area it's in. And what the unconscious assumes is that if you repeat something often and it has strong feelings attached to it, you know, you were talking about those good feelings that you have, they can even be bad feelings, as long as they're strong feelings, and you do it over and over and over again, then our unconscious is designed in such a way that, and it says to itself, oh, I guess you want me to take over doing that so you can engage in that without having to think about it. Mm. That's one of the wonderful things that it does for us or to us, as the case may be, depending on how good we feel about it. But it's really engaging the unconscious in a way that we may not have even realized that that's what it is. But repetitive behavior coupled with a strong feeling is the signal to your unconscious, oh, okay, you want me to take over and do this without your having to worry about
yes.
it.
Yes,
all
and
of a sudden,
I
we've got a habit.
Yes, well, and some people may know it as you start out with something, you're consciously incompetent at it, mm-hmm. and you have to learn how to do it. So if you're a smoker, you had to learn how to smoke.
Yeah,
your body had to learn how to adjust to the irritant and the poison that was coming into your body. If you are learning to ride a bike or drive a car, your body had to learn to play an instrument. Whatever it is, you're consciously incompetent for a while. Mm-hmm. Then you become consciously competent. And that's when you go from having to think about every single thing that you're doing to, oh, I know how to do this, but you still have to be very conscious of it. Mm-hmm. And then you go to unconscious competence, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Unconscious competence.
Yeah.
And so that's what Dr. Art is talking about, is now you don't even have to think about it. You drive from A to B and you don't even know how you got there by the time you're done, because your unconscious was stopping at stop signs and checking the traffic lights and watching the corners and making sure nobody, you know, before you made the turn. And then the rest, you can talk on the phone or you can talk to the person in the car and you don't even know how you got there.
So the sort of chilling aspect of that is knowing that all those people out there driving around, they're in a hypnotic trance, you know. They're driving
wow.
very nicely, but they are tranced out. And it's wonderful because we can do things, complex things, with great sophistication and ease and elegance because we have taught ourselves how to do it. It's in the muscle memory. It's in the cellular memory. And now we can engage in something beautifully without having to use any conscious thought about it at all. So that's, again, habits require repetition. If you want to learn a sport, how to play a musical instrument, you wouldn't think of say, well, I'm gonna do this one time and then I'll be perfect. You know, nobody goes that, you know, we have to practice. Well, practice to a hypnotist and to Dr. Chris and me, that's called repetition. And that's what practice is repetition.
Yes, and
to the point where you repeat it so much that finally your whole system says, I got this. Don't worry about it. I can do it.
You know? Right.
And right. We actually have laboratory experiments that say for complex behavior, it could take up to 65 days for your unconscious to be able to integrate all of this, you know. So, but within a couple of months, you should be able to learn how to do most anything, you know. And
right.
And the problem that we have because of this habit forming process, repetitive behavior, strong feelings. I work with golfers, and I have golfers that say, I get with them on the tee, and I say, what are you thinking about? And they say, well, over there on the left-hand side, there's this big long water hole running alongside the fairway. I said, yeah, I see that. So what? That's not where you're going to hit your ball, is it? And he said, well, I don't want to, but I always do. I always hit it there.
Mm.
And I said, so you know what that looks like then, right? Oh, yeah. Boop, you know, right? I even know what it sounds like when it hits.
Right.
And how do you feel when that happened? Boy, I get so mad. I don't know what to do. I'm going to give up golf. I said, well, great. You're on the verge of creating a habit for yourself. Mm-hmm. A clear picture, a repetitive behavior, and a strong emotion. So you're teaching yourself to hit the ball in the water. So let's don't do that anymore. You know, let's do something different. So I have to help them unlearn the habit forming process so that they don't inadvertently use it on the exact opposite of what they really wanted.
Well, and that's our next topic of why are habits so difficult to change? And one of the things that, you know, I was talking to a client just yesterday, mm-hmm. about she was nonstop eating cookies and eating sugar and really wants to change. But she says, well, I have to have this in the morning and I have to have this throughout the day and I have to have that. And I always have that. And I kept saying, what is it you really want? What is it you really want? And she would go off into a tangent. And so I had to bring her back to, you told me that you want to feel better and lose weight. So if you want to feel better and lose weight, then how much do you want that compared to wanting the food? And the problem is that the body is dictating what she was doing. The body was dictating that it needs the carbohydrates. It needs the sugar. It's something I always have. And so the body's gotten used to the tastes, the smells, the full feeling, the sugar high,
the energy,
you know, all of it. And so the body is craving as much as the mental habit. So the reason that habits are so difficult to change is twofold. It's one, that you have literally conditioned your inner neurotransmitters, your brain chemicals, and your body itself to depend on you doing a certain thing. Doesn't have to be food or something you ingest. It's whatever habit you have. Mm-hmm. If it's gambling, if it's you know, thrill seeking, your body responds to this thrill seeking and it looks for it because it's become addictive. So the first thing you are overcoming is the body's response to feeling good because you're doing the thing that it's used to you doing. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the second piece is just your mental belief that, but this is what I always do. But this is what I always do. Well, okay. So what if you didn't? What if you did this over here? And we've talked about this before, Dr. Art, but the beauty of habit change, which makes it possible. Well, not the beauty of habit change, the beauty of the brain in assisting you in habit change is that you have neurons over here that are used to this habit. But as soon as you start doing the other thing, these neurons that were attached here to the habit and constantly keeping you locked in begin to attach to the new way of being, the healthier way of being, the happier way of being, the more productive way of being. And so the more that you have emotional connection to the new way, and of course, as you said, Dr. Art, it can take up to 65 days. So it's uncomfortable. And in the beginning, you have what's called the moving stupids. You know, you're trying to create a new habit and it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right in the body. It doesn't feel right to your mind. It's kind of like, well, you know, it would be so comfortable to go back here. Well, so that's where the why comes in. And that's where the practice, as you
said. This is that unconscious desire to continue whatever behaviors you've been doing. It loves predictability. It loves knowing what's going to happen. It loves knowing what you're going to do. So what happens is we have a trigger usually, and or more than one. So let's take, for example, I have people who come in and say, I want to stop smoking cigarettes. And I say, okay, one of the things we need to do is identify the triggers that cause you to want to light up a cigarette. And I know most of them, some peculiar ones that come out, but some people say, I got to have a cigarette when I first wake up in the morning. I got to have one after breakfast. I got to have one driving to work or driving in the car. Anytime I get in the car and I light up a cigarette. When I'm talking on the phone or after lunch, after dinner, and they have these times when the body triggers the desire for another cigarette. And I said, okay, we want to do two things. We want to have those triggers trigger something other than that. Mm-hmm. And I want it to be unpredictable. So the first time you wake up and you think, oh, I've got to have a cigarette. I just woke up. Have a cup of coffee instead. Eat a piece of fruit. Eat a carrot. Eat a celery stalk or something like that. You know, something different, a banana, an orange, an apple, a pear, or whatever. And don't make it the same thing. Sometimes just have a nice a couple of sips of water. And so all of a sudden the body is saying, wait a minute. I gave you the signal for a cigarette and you're giving me all this other stuff. I don't know what to do. I don't understand. It's not working anymore. Keep it up because now it's called a pattern interrupt. And it's a very powerful process that you can use to get rid of these old ways of being when that trigger fires off and you're saying, I got the trigger, but now I'm going to do something different. So the other thing that's happening is that you have stopped engaging in the other behavior. And that's just something you have to tough through. Sometimes that is very, very difficult to do. But I can promise you from many, many client reports, the longer you go, the easier it gets. You know, the first day you feel like there's no way I'm going to be able to resist this sugar or this whatever it is that the habit that you have. It's doable, but you've got to take those triggers and say, I hear you, or I feel you sometimes. I feel you, and I'm going to respond, but not the way you thought. I'm going to do something, and don't ever do this. Don't get in the habit of eating an apple every time, because now you've got an apple habit.
Now you've got an apple habit.
So vary it. Do something different. Drink some water, then eat a celery stalk, and then eat a banana, and then, you know, whatever it is, do something other than what you used to do. And it isn't long. The unconscious is very smart. It says, I guess you don't want to do that anymore. I say, no, you are not born a smoker. That's a learned behavior. And anything you learn, you can learn something different, or you can unlearn the old one. You can learn something new to do it. And now the same thing is true if you want to break a habit the process we were talking about to use. The same thing is if you want to form a new habit. You decide, so what is it that I want? And then you have to engage in that behavior over
regularly.
And
yes.
Over and over.
Working out, getting fit.
Now, getting preceding that, but from what we were talking about before, probably be a great idea for you to make a long list of whys. Why do you want this new behavior? You know, and once you've got the why energy helping you to sustain this, and the reason for the repetition is twofold. One is you have to put new instructions into your neurology. The new behavior is going to require something that your thought processes or your feelings or your physical behaviors, it's new. And so you need rehearsal. You need practice on them. And that's important. The other interesting reason for it is your unconscious, immediately when you start doing this, it says, oh, there's Dr. Chris wanting to form a new habit. And I see it, this behavior, she does it and then she does it again and she does it again. She's thinking about how good it feels when she's doing this new thing, but I'm not going to do it right away. And the reason for that is to say, we've been here before where there was something she really wanted bad and she wanted bad for 3 or 4 whole days. And then all of a sudden she said, that wasn't really that important. I'm not doing it anymore. The unconscious does not like being fooled like that. And so it's going to hold out long enough to say, are you really serious about this? If you are, and I'm going to know that you are because you sustain the repetition, then I'll take over. At some point, I'll take it over.
Yes.
But I'm not going to do it the first, second, third time because I don't like being fooled.
Well, because you've crapped out on yourself before, kind of thing.
And this
is
called being out of rapport with yourself. If we were in total rapport with ourselves, one time would be enough. We do it one time, the unconscious say, oh, you're serious? I'm going to do this, you know? But we don't have that reputation. We have a reputation for, I want it. And the other thing about this feeling that goes with it, I've had people saying, I just really want to get this new habit, you know? And I say, well, let's say you already had that new habit. How would that feel to you? And I've had them say, oh, that would be kind of nice, you know? I'm saying, unconsciously,
no,
not
ain't going to do it. Ain't going to do
not
it.
Well, near important enough. It's got to be absolutely the ultimate, I got to have this. I just got to, you know? Not just, oh, it'd be nice, you know? That's not near enough. So
absolutely,
rev up a strong emotion.
Yes, I just need to interrupt you because I want to do a station identification break.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You're listening to the New Reality Show with Drs. Christina Winsey and Dr. Art Emrich. Welcome if you've just joined us. Our topic is how habits make or break your goals. We know that this is New Year's and this New Year's Eve, and a lot of people are planning their 2022 resolutions and goals. And so we wanted to bring in this topic. We thought it was very apropos because habits really are what support or ruin your ability to follow through on your goals. So we'll be continuing with the topic. I just want to, first of all, thank our subscribers. And if you enjoy this show, if you get some great stuff out of it, we welcome and bless our subscribers who help us keep the lights on. And also, please listen to the very end because we have an extremely special New Year's freebie for all of you. Well, for 6 of you, I should say, the first 6. And we're pretty excited because we've never offered this before. So it'll help you get your 2022 off to a really great start. So with that, Dr. Art, I think I want to continue with, you know, sometimes the thing that came to mind for me regarding making good habits for achieving your goals has to do with how people structure their day. Mm-hmm. And you talked about when you help people with smoking cessation, that you have them have an apple instead and change the times that they have cigarettes. And that's where we talked about the moving stupids. It's a new experience because they haven't done it that way before. Mm-hmm. What I want to say is if you have a business goal, any goal really, and your day always seems to go in a certain way where, you know, I had a client who kept saying, I'm just so tired when I get home from work, I can't work out, or I'm just so tired that I don't want to cook for myself, I'm just going to get takeout. You know, what if you have a business and it's not being successful, are you spending your day in such a way that you're working mostly on money-making activities? If you own a business, then your job is to make that business successful. What are the things that are going to make that business successful? Well, if you're spending your day watching Netflix or YouTube, if you're spending part of your day just checking emails and responding to emails that have nothing to do with your business, or anything that you're doing that is wasting time that preciously could be spent on your goal or on whatever it is that is your main thing. It's amazing how many people say to me, Dr. Art, I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time to take care of myself. I don't have time to, you know, do self-care. I don't have time to work out. Well, that's, I hate to say the word an excuse, but it is. Mm-hmm. Because what I've found is that we actually have as much time as we decide to have. And so if you're not deciding that certain things are a priority and you're going to make time for them, then, you know, this all goes into life coaching. If you have certain values, like family is important, but you're not making time for your kids in the way that you really want to, I'm not guilt tripping people who have to work three jobs. It's not that. It's really challenging you to take a look at where are you putting your gold, which is your time. That's the only thing we don't have more of. We have 24 hours. And so it's really important if you're going to create new good habits and you're going to set really powerful goals, then take a look at where you're spending your time throughout the day and decide that the new habit you're going to make, just like Dr. Art was saying, you're going to have an apple and you're going to change when you have the cigarette so that it's less and less comfortable. Well, make it less and less comfortable to be doing the things that waste time and more comfortable to be doing the things that support your goal. Mm-hmm. So I just really wanted to get that in. It's kind of a concept that I think, you know, goes right along with if you aren't aware of the habits that are sabotaging you. And I think that there are people who aren't aware. They're thinking that, you know, I'm doing everything I can. And sometimes being busy is not the same as being productive. Right. So, yeah.
Well, in a time management approach, busyness can be doing things that are important, which is ideally what we would spend our time on. But they always get pushed aside by doing the things that are urgent. So when the telephone rings, that is an urgency. But that's important at that point is indeterminate. You don't know who's on the other end. It may be a crank call, and maybe somebody trying to sell you something or wanting to know, you know, if your car is in good shape or whatever. So becoming conscious, I think, is one of the coolest things to deal with habit formation and deformation is before you engage in something and you ask, why am I doing this? Then find out, is this an urgent thing or is this an important thing? Now, if it's both, that's ideal, if it's urgent and important. But if it's just one or the other, then go for important, because if you don't, the important stuff is never going to get done. And that's what really changes your life. The urgent stuff, most of the time, doesn't change your life very much at all. But the important stuff will definitely change it, either for the good or for the not so good.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So we talked about ways to break and make new, you know, break old habits, bad habits, and make new habits. What do you find are the most successful ways that for your clients, what has been, is there, you know, different from what you've already talked about? Is there something that you feel is like the most successful way to break an old habit, a bad habit, and the most successful way to create a new one? And we might also want to get into the whole idea of identity. I think that, you know, a lot of people set goals that are outside their comfort zone, and they begin to move towards that goal, and then it becomes uncomfortable because it doesn't mesh with who they think they are. And this is where we get into, you know, not feeling they deserve success, or whatever they know themselves to be, seeing themselves as the person that has X, Y, or Z, whether it's more money, whether it's the ideal relationship, whether it's, you know, growing in their career, whatever it might be. This is where people sabotage themselves. So what would you say to someone who is experiencing this, like you said, the subconscious wants to see if you're serious.
Yeah.
That identity piece comes into play, and this is when people crap out on themselves.
So identity, if you think about it, it's the verb to be. We use it. That is the I am statement. I am X. Mm. So I would say that a form, a template, I guess, for talking to yourself to establish this new identity that you want. So I have smokers say, I am a former smoker. It doesn't deny that they used to smoke, but it also acknowledges that that's not something they do anymore. And that's a former behavior. And I usually link it to something that they did formerly that they let go of spontaneously. I say, you used to believe in the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus and everything. Wonderful at the time, but you've matured, you've moved on. So you could say I'm a former believer in Santa Claus if you wanted to. But it's that idea of acknowledging what used to be, and also acknowledging that you've moved on past that. So I am a former nail biter, or I am a former junk food eater, or whatever, so that you establish who you are in your unconscious. The unconscious is where identity is stored. And unfortunately for us, the way we know who we are, we start learning that at a very early age by listening to the things that were said sometimes to us, but a lot of times we just overheard things that were said about us by a parent or a teacher or a minister or a friend or a family member or something like that. Oh, look at Johnny, so smart, or Johnny's not so smart, whatever it is. And so Johnny says, oh, so that's who I am. That's it. And so that goes right into our unconscious, and it's stored and becomes our identity until we get to be about 10, and then we start having some choice about our identity. But now as an adult, if you can say, well, I can either say I'm a smoker, but I don't want to smoke anymore, but I'm a smoker. Well, as long as your identity is as a smoker, you're probably going to keep on doing it. That's who you are. Yes. You acknowledge it. But if you acknowledge I am a former X, whatever that may be, it really starts helping you to move your identity away. And instead of now you can put something more positive in place of that. Once that habit is broken, you can say, I am a person who eats healthy foods, or I'm a person who breathes clean air, or you know, whatever the case may be about the kind of habit you're dealing with. But start with this I am statements, because that's the way you shift your identity. Mm. You are the boss of who you are, but your unconscious needs to be told who that is, because if you don't say anything about it, it can't guess. There are too many possible answers to that. So tell yourself over and over and over again until your unconscious is, oh, I got it. Okay. I got it. I got this new identity. I'm going to go with that from now on. I'm not going to use this old one. But again, it takes some repetition.
Yes. And from NLP, we know that if you don't define what it's like, so if you want to be an ex-smoker, how would you be breathing? How would you be standing? What would you be thinking? What would you be feeling?
What would you be doing with your hands?
What would you be doing with your hands? How would your life be different? What would people say to you? What would you say to others? It's what would you be seeing? You would have all different experiences being a non-smoker. Mm-hmm. And so when you create that story, that reality, that becomes your identity. And it needs to be vibrant. It needs to be something that you're living in here until it becomes completely you. Mm-hmm. And so there needs to be emotion with it. There needs to be a feeling of, oh, wow, I'm a non-smoker. I'm a former smoker. Now, look, my lungs are clearing. And, you know, it's just a really defining what that feels like and how you're living that way. And the other thing that's really important is to make pictures in your mind of yourself being that, not just to write it down and define it, but in the process, if you have big, bright, very colorful pictures of yourself in that new identity, then it becomes more emotional, more real to your subconscious mind.
So, and here's an interesting thing, and I'll say this because I know that our audience is very sophisticated and able to handle advanced work. We use the imagination a whole lot. It turns out, as far as we know, we're the only creatures that have one that we can manipulate and manage the way we can. And so I would say, okay, do you have a picture of what this will look like when you're successful? And they either say no, and I say, well, would you make one? Or if they say, oh, yeah, I know exactly what it looks like. And so I ask them a question. Can you see yourself in this picture? And most of the time they say, oh, yeah, I can see myself. And I say, okay, that means you're not in your body. Because if you were in your body, you couldn't see yourself. You'd be looking out through your eyes and you don't see yourself. So if you can see yourself, that's fine. That means you're dissociated. You're not in your body. That's what your success looks like to somebody else. And that's good that somebody else, in this case, is you. You're watching yourself do this. So that's a wonderful information piece for your unconscious. However, it's also going to be very important for you to step into your body and re-experience that same thing, looking out through your own eyes and being in your body and experiencing the success that you want to have with that. Now, all of a sudden, your unconscious says, oh, you mean this is us doing that? Oh, I thought this was somebody else who was enjoying it. you mean we're going to do it? Okay, great. Now I got two pictures of the same thing, and I can get a little bit of information from each one. They're both very valuable. And in the one that you're in your body, that's the one you can actually feel the feelings that we are saying to go with it. If you're outside your body, you have no idea what the feelings are that are in that movie star up there on the screen, you know. But once you get in your body, now you can experience those feelings. And that is absolutely key to your unconscious understanding how important is this to you. If the feeling's weak, then it's probably not very important. If the feeling's strong, and it's not, say, I'm going to name a strong feeling like unbridled bliss, you know, with a blah, blah, blah. That's just a word, you know. You got to feel those feelings to go with that picture so that your unconscious says, oh, this is how it feels when we're successful. I got it, you know. But just naming the feeling is not going to do it, you know. You got to really feel the feeling. You see the vision, and whatever that causes in you should be great joy. Feel the joy and put it with the picture. Now your unconscious says, I got it. Okay. You've just shortened the amount of time it's going to take to get this thing going, you know.
Right, right. No, that's so perfect, because we were talking about how breaking a bad habit has to do with the fact that your body is used to the way that you've been doing things, and your mind is also. And so now, as you create the new feeling, you're creating the physical experience of it. Your body is shifting too. So your body can support you in the new positive habit. So it's very apropos. And I think what we ought to talk about too is planning processes. Like, if you're going to make resolutions tonight, and if you're going to set new goals for 2022, then are you setting aside real solid time for that? You know, it's one thing to make a resolution and midnight comes and the bell rings and, okay, now I'm going to lose weight. And okay, now I'm going to do this or that or the other thing. But then when is scheduling on your calendar time that you're going to put into your new goal? And there was a piece that you had pulled, Dr. Art, about a process for 30 minutes, creating a new habit in 30 minutes. And what it was, the author talked about, so if you only can give 30 minutes a day to your new habit, then the first day, what are you going to do? So if it's about losing weight, the first day, maybe you're going to spend 30 minutes choosing a food plan. And the next day, you're going to spend 30 minutes shopping for those foods. And the next day, if you're going to spend 30 minutes preparing meals with those healthy foods. And the next day, you may have 30 minutes to work out, and maybe you can only work out twice a week because the rest of the week you have other parts of this. But every day spending 30 minutes on your new habit and your goal. I thought that was kind of interesting, you know, to know that every day at a certain time is when you're spending on your new habit, so that it becomes scheduled into your day. Because one of the things that my clients and I'm sure yours and people in general do is that when it comes to our own goals, you know, we'll keep a schedule for a boss. We'll keep a schedule for a business. We'll keep a schedule for a doctor's visit. But when it comes to our goals, we don't think about, okay, I'm going to schedule myself on my calendar, and I'm going to work on my goal, not scurrying around, you know, just willy-nilly and not having a plan.
And there's also that that old thing about how do you eat an elephant, you know, one bite at a time. So a lot of people say, I got to lose 20 pounds, you know. Well, you don't lose 20 pounds, you know. Yeah. And so the way I've gone at it, and this is kind of tricking people a little bit, but I don't feel embarrassed about it at all. I say, would you commit to me that you'll lose 4 ounces every day? 4 ounces. And people say, I could do that. Well, that means every 4 days they're going to lose a pound. Mm. There's four ounce days is 16 ounces. That's a pound. And so if you can break this thing down into small enough little bite-sized pieces, they're not overwhelming at all. And the other thing that I've talked about on the program before is this four-word question that I teach people to ask, particularly good if they're wanting to make a change. And the four-word question is toward or away from. So is what you're doing, is this taking you toward your goal? If you're eating junk food, what I'm really helping the client to get to is, I was going to say, I don't care if you fail or not, but I really do care. But I want you to care about whether you're going to fail or succeed. And if you fail, please fail consciously. I don't want you to wake up one day and say, well, I didn't lose the 20 pounds. I have no idea why I didn't do it. You know, it was because you sat there mindlessly eating the potato chips or the peanuts or the popcorn or whatever it might be and didn't even realize that because one of the things that habits love to do, especially around eating, is that they love to be able to have you doing it and not even realize that you're doing it. It's the way they get their way. I get my way because you're not paying any attention. I've had people who wanted to quit smoking who say, well, I was sitting there and I looked down all of a sudden, I said, where'd the cigarette come from? You know, well, your unconscious is capable because it's learned all the muscle movements it takes to take the cigarette out of your pocket and shake one out and put it in your mouth and light it and whatever like that, without thinking about it. And that's part of what, you know, what a habit is. You don't have to think. And so then all of a sudden, when the thought does come in, they look at it and say, well, I'll be darned. That's kind of like when you get home and say, how'd I get here? Or you were driving along and you say, oh, there goes my turnoff. I just missed it, you know, because you were somewhere else and you weren't paying attention. So I want people to pay attention to what they're doing relative to this new habit they want to form or this old habit they want to break. Is just toward or away from, toward or away from. What is whatever you're doing, is it taking toward your goal or away from? If it's taking you away from it and you still want to do it, go right ahead. It's your choice. But do it knowing that this ain't getting you any closer to this goal you set. So fail consciously. If you're going to fail at all, don't fail unconsciously. That is really the horrible thing, that I didn't do it and I don't even know why, you know, it didn't.
Yes. Finish.
So just be aware.
Well, we have just about run out of time. I want to make sure that now we announce our special gift that we're giving to the first six people. So as a special New Year's, we are each giving away 3 consultation sessions. And that is where you're just going to have a whole hour with either of us. And so 3 people can ask for Dr. Art and 3 people can ask for me. And you have to be the first 6 people to email. So the email you're going to send to, you're going to have the subject line, I want my session. And you're going to email contact nrshow@gmail.com. And Thomas is going to put that on the screen for us. And it's contact nrshow@gmail.com. And just in the subject line, I want my session, put your contact information and we will get back to you and indicate whether you want Dr. Art or whether you want me. And like I said, the first three people for Dr. Art and the first three people for me. So you better hurry and get your email in.
Get them in.
Yeah.
So we will get in touch with you. Be sure you make it either by phone or by email address,
yes,
one or the other, so that we can get in touch with you. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, I want to talk about next week's show. We're pretty excited. January 7th, we're going to have Dr. Jacqueline Del Rosario, and she is a marriage and relationship expert. She has been featured on networks like Fox, KTLA, CNN, GWN, Hallmark, ABC, and NBC affiliates, TV One Bravo, and Huffington Post, and she's also graced the pages of Bloomberg Newsweek. So she'll be helping you with how to keep harmony in your relationships, whether it's love, marriage, friendships. An amazing, amazing guest. We just are so excited to have her on. So please be sure to tune in next week. And until then, thank you, subscribers. If you'd like to subscribe to our show, I talked about it's on the show page. Mm-hmm. And we hope you've gotten so much benefit from this talk on habits. And we wish you the most wonderful New Year's. We wish you all the success with your goals. Dr. Art, do you want to say goodbye to everybody?
Well, we have had the 2021 version running for about half a year, and we're just really looking forward next week to starting off a brand new full year of,
yes,
activity. And thank you so much for staying with us and being with us. And we hope you'll tune in next year, every Friday,
yeah,
9 o'clock,
yeah,
Eastern, and 6 o'clock Pacific.
Lots of good things, exciting things coming in 2022 for everybody.
Right.
So thank you and good night.
Thanks much. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us. If you've enjoyed this show, please consider being a supporter. You can find that on our show page. Tune in every Friday night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/New Reality Show for announcements of upcoming topics and exciting guest interviews. Bye for now.